Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
They love it on Nebula. They're wild about it on Taurinus. Even on Motus, where they don't like anything at all, they eat it up.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I don't need the stimulation and verification and validation and praise.
I totally don't know what that means, but I want it.
Jeff Lutz.
You do. You gotta be loved.
Eunus, Menus, Usness, Weenus, Uranus, Minus. Happiness.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I am so totally turned on right now, I could spit.
Stand by for action.
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz with you. Happy to be joined by Kyle Lindstedt, the boys coach at Sunrise Academy here in Wichita. And Sunrise is our host for a big tournament coming up Friday and Saturday out at Newman University, Air Capital Hoop Fest. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
We're doing well. We appreciate it. It's good to talk with you. Tell us a little bit about this tournament. It's all kinds of really good teams and all kinds of really good players. How do people make sure they can get out and watch some of this?
Yep. Well, we'll sell tickets at the events at Newman University Friday and Saturday. This upcoming Friday and Saturday starts at 6 o'clock on Friday, and then there's two games. We play at the 8 o'clock game, and then on Saturday it's at 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. We play the late game both nights. So it's really just our league. It's the league that we're in. There's 14 teams in it. And this is the event that we host every year with our league. And each team, typically we fly to a place and everybody gets two games in. So you get a game both days and then you go home. So that's what it's our opportunity to host. And it's just a good chance for guys, for people to get out and watch us against opponents that are, you know, similar to us.
Yeah. I want you to talk about the schools that are coming here, but what has been kind of the evolution of these types of programs that travel? They're made up of high school students, obviously, traveling programs. It feels like Sunrise was among the first. I don't know if that's necessarily accurate, but how has that evolved over time? How many of these kind of schools are there now?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think there is an evolution, and there's more, but I think there's a lot that kind of come and go. There's a lot that kind of pop into it and then pop out of it, you know, with a player or two. But the schools in our league are the schools that have probably been there the longest. Like you say, I think we're one of those original schools. We're one of the founding members of this league. But it's different as sponsors come and go. Right now, Nike is actually sponsoring our league. So they've kind of bought into our league, and I think there's, you know, there's been some growth because of that. There's been some teams that they want in there, but, I think there's also a growth in the fact that a lot of, higher level, high school players are looking to go this route, the prep school route basically, and, you know, specialize in this sport. Because it's hard to get playing time. You know, if you're not a top 50 guy as a freshman, it's very, very difficult to get on the court, especially now that, you know, low major guys are bought and they sit on the bench at these high major universities with the NIL. So it's almost like they're a JV team for some of these guys. So you better come in ready to play. And I think, you know, the things that we do allow a better chance of being able to make impact right away.
Kyle Lindstedt, our coach, our guest, the head boys coach at Sunrise Christian Academy. So you mentioned NIL and all this that's going on now in the college ranks. You got, obviously, every year you have high major players at Sunrise. How has it changed? Are these players you have all? Are they all going to go high Division One with the understanding that okay, if they may not play as quickly as maybe they used to get to play? Tell me what your perception is of this new age of especially college basketball.
Yeah, well, I think I always say that it's kind of a dark underworld, right? And it's now the dark underworld is exposed and we all know about it. And so we all deal with it maybe in the light. So I think there's some things there that, there's things that you wish weren't there. But I think obviously that's what we have to deal with for right now. And I just think that, there was always things going on behind the scenes with the old way things were, and people were just a little bit more naive to it. I think people kind of knew, but they didn't really know. And now you're dealing with agents, face to face, 16-year-old kid, and he's got an agent. I'm dealing with the agent, and they have a vested interest in this now because the kid's going to get paid day one when he walks into college. So, and there's some parts of that that I think, if you get the right agent, I think it's a really healthy thing because they're going to tell the truth to mom and dad and the kid. And then there's those that just tell them what they want to hear, and they move them for their own profit. So there's a lot that's, to dislike, I think, and it's not so good. But there's also a side to it that I think it's at least more uniformly above board case to case. And there are some good people in this thing still, just the same as there used to be. There's good people in it and there's bad people in it.
What was it, and you've been back at Sunrise for a few years now in a couple different capacities, I believe, but what mm-hmm. was it that brought you back initially and that particularly brought you back to the elite team?
Yeah, well, my wife and I met at Sunrise. Sunrise is family and it's home. So we Sunrise is a big part of our life and our family's life. My wife and I met there, went to school there, and we have six kids, and they've all gone there. The three that are out of the house and graduated and married now live in Wichita. So family was here. And, at some point you get a little bit worn out of just, you miss family, to be honest, and just traveling all the time. And I travel during the season now, but it's far less than I did, as a Division I assistant. And it's far less than I did with the Nets. So, I think now, just being able to be here and focus on my family and be around my family, to me, that's an important thing. And that's where I wanted to be. And I was, I got a basketball education. I went out and I experienced, all levels of basketball, and so grateful for the opportunities I had. And I'm just super happy to be able to put that knowledge to use, at Sunrise, a place I love and care about. I think the mission and the focus of Sunrise is correct. And I think it's much needed in the world of Division One athletics, to give these guys a footing that's more than just about the game.
Sunrise Christian Academy hosting Hoop Fest Friday and Saturday at Newman University. Sunrise in action Friday at 8 o'clock against Veritas Academy, and then at 6 o'clock on Saturday against Link Academy. You got another star-studded roster. But it's got quite a few juniors on that roster who are some of your best players. Take us through four or five guys that we should want to come out and see on Friday and Saturday.
Well, for sure I will. Our seniors, we have some guys there that are pretty good. Noah Hill is a fun guy to watch. He's an above the rim guy. And Wichita State has been recruiting him, and he'd be a good player for them. He's a really, really athletic, tough dude, rebounds, defends. So he's fun to watch. But I'll leave the seniors out other than just to mention Noah because of Wichita State. But I'll talk about our four juniors. The first two I'll talk about are twins, Gavin and Gallagher Placide, 6'9 and 6'10. And they move really well for guys of that size. They've got great feet. They do a lot of things to help you win. They've got, I think they're, I don't get into the rankings as much, but I think they're like 4-star guys, and they, you know, obviously they're in the growing process. Our nucleus is kind of young this year. We're trying to build and do it with the right guys. So these four juniors are pretty good, but the Placide twins do a lot of things to help you win, and they're getting better and better every game. They're from Colorado originally, and so Colorado's recruiting them, and they probably have 3 or 4 schools from each of the Power Five conferences that are interested in them. The other two juniors that we have that are kind of noteworthy guys is Chidi Wiwe. Chidi Wiwe is a 5-star from New Jersey, and he's got interest from Kansas, Baylor, Illinois, all over the map for Chidi, I would say. So Chitty's a really fun player to watch. He's 6'6" with about a 7'2" wingspan, and he can really, he can score it in a lot of different ways. He can shoot it and bounce it a little bit, and he's a slasher and get to the rim. So, and then Aiden Cronister, he draws a lot of Grady Dick comparisons. He's a 6'7" shooter from Arkansas, and he's active and a motored up guy, and can really, really shoot the basketball for us. So that's kind of, those four guys are kind of the young nucleus of what we have this year that I would say get the most run for us.
I feel like if a guy maybe went to Heights or something and was being recruited by Wichita State, that Wichita State would have some advantage. And we don't have to talk about any particular player, but for your guys who are being recruited by Wichita State, is there that same advantage? Does it matter that Wichita State is in town? Is that a factor?
Yeah, I think there is some advantages there for sure. First of all, they can go there and be exposed to them and see those coaches more often. And they can obviously see, the side of Wichita State. They can go to as many games as they want to. We're right here, so I think there's that advantage there. But it's not home for these guys, and so I think that's the big difference. Is anybody that would go to Heights, it would be home, and there's a huge value in that. But there's real interest. I mean, there's a few guys that'll come and just say, "Man, I wish Wichita State would recruit me. I kind of like this." So there is that. You get those occasionally, And then you get guys that, Wichita State will show interest, and they're going, "Hey, this is not where I see myself," So it's kind of person to person, but I do think that there are some advantages for sure.
Well, Kyle, we look forward to it. I will ask you, who's the best player not on your team that's coming to Wichita? It looks to me like, just going through some of the information you sent to Jeff, Link Academy has the number 5 rated prospect in the country, Chris Cenac, who's committed to Houston. I would say he'd be a somebody you'd want to look at.
Yep. Chris Cenac is really, really good player. 6'10", four man, can shoot it a little bit, but he's plenty good, and I think that's one of the guys that's probably, obviously there's a lot of ranked guys there on that list, but I think Chris Cenac is probably one that's pretty fun to watch and sticks out.
Well, it should be a fun time at Neumann University coming up Friday and Saturday, 2 games each day in Hoop Fest, hosted by Sunrise Christian Academy. Thanks so much, Kyle. It's really a pleasure to talk with you.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me on, and thank you so much for your program over the years. And I know it's been a ton of fun for this city to be a part of it. So appreciate all you guys have done as well.
All right, take care. Thank you for that. Kyle Linstead from Sunrise Christian Academy. As we move forward, now I just checked my phone. In hour number one, we talked about my wife's ride to Wellington.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And she heard that. She's upstairs as we record the show. And rather than, send me a text that placates me or soothes me and makes me understand that, yeah, you're still my everything, babe.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of a text. She sends me the following text. He, meaning the guy
Carter
who
Green.
Took her, yeah, took her to Wellington. He speaks French fluently. Now, do you think I feel better? You think I feel better about everything?
You just got punked.
Do you think I feel better about everything?
Probably not.
Why is he talking French to my wife?
I don't know what his motivations are.
Amore. I mean, I don't need that.
I think that amore is Italian.
I don't care what it is.
When the moon hits your eye.
How do you say it in French?
I don't know. Je m'appelle Jeff.
But how am I supposed to feel about
that? Je m'appelle Bob.
Is that supposed to make me happier?
I don't think so.
Now what's she going to say now?
I don't know.
He had a 4.0 at Columbia. I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised, would you? He's a genius.
Well, what do I need to hear that for?
What language do you speak? Barely English.
Right.
Let me say it.
That wasn't that funny.
You almost said it.
No, I started to say something funny.
Like what?
I speak whatever language I need to.
Well, that's impressive.
At the
you
moment.
Need to speak German right now.
I speak whatever language comes to mind.
Swedish.
No, I don't speak Swedish.
Well, it came to mind. What's the deal?
All right, I have no idea where we are in time, but we're going to take a break. We had a nice interview there with Kyle Lindstedt.
We sure did.
We've had Brent Chemnitz. We've had Jesse Newell. We're just running through them here on a Tuesday edition. And up next is our friend Brandon Clark, the head football coach at Derby High School. He will join us next.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
The Motels, suddenly last summer, the last waltz, a musical theme of the show this week. Here is a frequent guest and a frequent winning coach from Derby High School, Brandon Clark, joining us. Brandon, hello, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it is a pleasure. So what's Brett Flory up to down there trying to upstage you? You had a talk with him?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, he's doing some great things. I mean, he's always been a great coach here, and man, he's got that team this year that they're just gritty, and they play for each other, and they're a lot of fun to watch. So it's awesome to watch them have the success that they're having.
And Brett, the Derby boys basketball coach, they got one last night in nail biting fashion, which they're making a habit of. They beat Junction City by 4 last night, so they remain unbeaten, Jeff.
Yeah, how fun is that to roll from football season into boys and girls basketball season? And Derby's very good at many other sports. But to just roll into just success after success, and I imagine it keeps the school pretty well abuzz.
Oh, yeah. You know, the really cool thing is everybody supports everybody. You walk through the halls, you go through, like, one of our PE classes or something. I mean, it's amazing how well everybody supports each other and cheers for each other, and it doesn't matter if it's football or wrestling or basketball or softball or baseball. Everybody's cheering on for everybody, so it's really neat.
Brandon Clark, our guest, longtime Derby football coach. So back when I went to high school, way, way back, football coaches, basketball coaches, they got a little time off, at least from their sport. But that's really not the case anymore, is it? I would imagine that you guys are always working on conditioning, weights, things like that. Is that accurate? What's your life like right now?
Yeah, well, it kind of never stops. You know, as soon as football season is over, you walk to the supermarket and everybody's asking about next year. So, right now we're our kids throw a little bit, just kind of on their own. We have that indoor turf facility, which is super nice. Year long, we lift at 6:30 in the morning. It doesn't matter if it's during the season, during the summer, during the winter, whatever. That's where we can get our kids in all together at the same time and lift, and then we'll run after that and do some flexibility stuff too. So it's always going. You know, they have the rules to where we can't really talk football or practice football until the summer hits. But once the summer hits, we can kind of incorporate some football stuff, have some camps, go to some padded camps, and then, you know, that leads right up into the season.
When you've won state championships and played in state championship games, does a game like the one that ended your season last year, is that something you still carry with you, or is it just something you've experienced? You maybe know how to move on easier from it. How do you kind of emotionally deal with that, especially because there's just so much school left after the football season?
There is, but I don't know. I hate to lose. I'm that type of person, and when you kind of dedicate your whole year to that season, and you know, you have a lot of coaches that dedicate their time, and a lot of parents that dedicate their time, and obviously the kids that dedicate their time. It's always hard to lose that last one, but every team does it in 6A except for one. So you know, I thought we had a great season leading up to that state semifinal game, and then it was just kind of the perfect storm. We had three or four key guys kind of injured. We had four turnovers. I don't think our ones had I think they had one turnover all year. So it was just kind of that perfect storm. And if you coach long enough, you get to experience some of those games, and they're heartbreakers. You hate to see the seniors go out when you're hoping you could make it to state and hopefully win state, get another state title for the town of Derby. But, you know, that's life. And in football, basketball, wrestling, baseball, anything, I mean, it teaches you a lot about life. As long as your kids kind of buy into that team concept, buy into getting better each and every day, and then, you know, leaving it all on the field. Don't be scared to go 100% no matter what you're doing.
Brandon Clark with us. He's a head football coach at Derby. So there's a winning legacy at Derby, as everybody knows. They've been winning for a long, long time. You have won at levels that even Derby didn't win at previously. But when you're the head football coach at Derby, and I'm asking you this as somebody I know who takes great care in the mental side of sports and athletics, how about for you? How difficult is it to know that, you mentioned it, you go to the grocery store a couple days after the season ends and people are talking about next year, and the expectations for Derby are always high, and even when you get to a state title game and you lose, it's like, dang, what happened? You know, that's just how it is at Derby. How about for you? How difficult is it to maintain your level of intensity and to be, you know, mentally positive about all this all the time?
Yeah, it takes a toll a little bit, but not much. You know, I'm the last one that wants to lose a game. And if we don't win state here at Derby, it's people think it's a failure year, you know. And so we've had a couple of those back to back, which I'd like to get away from. But you know, you got to have a supporting family. My family's, as long as we've lived here, it's been Derby football. My wife is my biggest cheerleader, my biggest advocate, and also probably the person that's probably the hardest on me when it comes to coaching and losing games and stuff like that. But we enjoy it. And I'll tell you, you know, from the first year I started coaching, head coaching, to now, my passions have changed. You know, I really, really dive deep into the culture of our program. I've got some really, really good assistant coaches that you know, I can trust that they're going to get the game plans ready. You know, I barely ever say anything on defense. We've got an unbelievable defense staff. Our offense staff helps me out so much, too. I call a little bit of offense just to keep the juices flowing. But, it's just one of those things where you can always evolve with your culture. There's a lot of guardrails and things in life and parameters and borders.
And when you think about the culture of your program and what you can do for the kids later on in their life and help them become great young men, I mean, there are no borders for that. I mean, there's so much stuff that we can be doing and we are doing, and just try to dream up of what can make this program a better program.
I'm interested in that culture part, and not to harp on a loss, but I'm interested because that was the end of your season. What would you have said to your team if you'd had another game? I know there was a message at the end of the game, but if you were preparing for another week and a game like that happened where it was just kind of fluke stuff, like you say, where you have turnovers and you never really do, and you know that culture is really important, how would you have kind of fallen back on that if you had another game the next week? And what would kind of the message have been?
Yeah, I mean, when you go into that state game, it's always kind of an emotional wreck. I find myself tearing up like almost every day leading up to that game, because that's about the only time you can choose when your last game is going to be. So you know it's coming down the way. You know it's going to be on that Saturday or that Friday, how it was this year. But when it kind of ends abruptly, you know, the kids know how much our coaching staff cares for them. They know how much their community cares for them. They know how much they care for each other. You know, I just told them that don't let this game define you. This is, you know, this is not the season that we've had. We've had a fantastic season. It was a season where we barely had anything go wrong off the field, which was really nice, so we could really concentrate on football. But yeah, my message was about the same. If we would have won state, I would have said you guys are champions, not just on the field, but off the field. And that's what we said after our state semifinal games, that we had a locker room full of champions in there.
Brandon, throughout the years, we've always appreciated your time coming on our show and talking about Derby football, even all these years later. Obviously, I still have a strong connection to Derby and follow everything you guys do. Thank you so much, and we hope to touch base down the road somewhere.
Oh, for sure. And I thank you guys for being in our households and our cars and on the radio and just making us laugh and giving us some really good things to think about. And you guys do fantastic interviews. You guys have been a big part of a lot of these people's lives here in Wichita. So I thank you both for that. And I know how enjoyable it is to work with your son. I got to coach my son, so I know you guys had the time of your life. And thank you guys.
I wouldn't quite go that far, but thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
You know it's true if you just won't admit it.
Take care. We appreciate you.
All right, we'll see you guys.
All right,
thank you.
Nice. Yeah, you bet. Nice things from a guy I really think highly of. You know,
of
that,
course.
Is he young enough to be my son, you think?
He's probably a couple years older than me.
Yeah, I think he's in his mid-40s, so he could very easily be a son, and that'd be quite a deal.
Yeah. You can always adopt him.
Not that I don't have a great son.
He's all right.
Huh?
He's all right.
Well, I mean, you're not competing for state titles.
Not this year.
You never know when you might.
He started college in 98, so he's probably 45.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
You know, it is. There's
plenty old enough to be your son.
Don't get anybody wrong. There's some melancholy to all this, and I'm feeling it for sure this week, because these are all people that we're interviewing, and they all mean a lot to me. You know, it's not like we hang out. It's not like I'm going to see Brandon Clark for the Super Bowl, but I enjoy talking with him, and same can be said about Kyle Lindstedt, Brent Chemnitz, Jesse Newell, Steve Martin, Joe Auer.
Yeah, we have relationships with these
people.
All
the guests that we'll have tomorrow.
Who do we have tomorrow?
I haven't booked tomorrow's show.
All right, well, good luck.
We're working on it.
I'm sure you'll book a heck of a show.
Well, I do.
Jason Duda likely will not be here, but he may be.
I normally do book a heck of a show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Have you filled out? We got Mike Furchess, or are you waiting for him till Friday?
I may wait till Friday for Mike.
Yeah, he's one of our...
He's one of the guys.
Exactly. He's one of the cornerstones.
So, yeah, we may wait until Friday for Mike.
That's fair.
We may wait. That seemed to be tough.
We may wait.
That's a tough one to get out. We may wait.
Challenge.
We may wait. KU with a big win last night at home against Iowa State. Boy, Iowa State, they've got
reeling
into the tank. Can't score. What happened?
I don't know what happened.
They can't score.
It's a mid-season malaise.
They were the highest scoring team in the country, and now they can't score.
Yeah, they've been something like 115 points over the last two games total.
Craziness. But anyway, KU looked pretty good. Got out and pleased their crowd. So they recovered from a little bit of a slump themselves. Shockers on the road tonight to face Charlotte, a team they beat here at Coke Arena. A team they should beat on the road, but we'll see.
How many of the next – do you have Wichita State schedule up? Because this is the part of the schedule where if you're going to find some wins, I know they have Memphis at home. You might not be including that.
But they should win at Charlotte.
But if they're going to find
win
some wins.
South Florida. UTSA at home, they should win, but I don't know. Memphis at home, doubtful. Tulane, UAB, North Texas on the road, Rice on the road. Rice is better this year if you look at their scores. None of these teams are very good except Memphis. But Rice is 11-11, although they have lost. Maybe stand by on what I said. They've lost
maybe
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row.
Poor Rice. What are you guys doing up there?
What do you mean up there?
Down there in Houston, whatever.
Where did you think Rice was?
I know where Rice is.
No, tell me.
I know where
Rice is.
Because
you said, what are you doing up there?
You know what?
Did you think it was in Omaha? What did you think?
Just because the direction south is down on a map, it could still be up.
No, it's not, and nobody's ever done that.
When's the last time?
You know, I'm gonna go down to Canada one of these days, and I'm going to have a whale of a time. Nobody said
When do you
that.
Think the last time Rice was in the NCAA tournament?
I don't know.
Not in my lifetime.
They're terrible.
1970.
Feel bad for them down there.
Before that, 54.
Why you want to change the subject?
What's the subject?
Up and down.
I don't care. It's just pejorative, man. It doesn't mean anything.
The road games for the Shockers are Charlotte, South Florida, Florida Atlantic, North Texas, Rice. A good team should be able to win four of those five. The home games are UTSA, Memphis, Tulane, UAB, and Tulsa. A good team should be able to win three of those five.
That's what I'm saying.
So if they don't go 7-3 the rest of the way.
No, 6-4. I thought they had 11 games, but you might be right.
7-3 the rest of the way would get them to 18-13. You could at least go through town and hold your head up high, I guess. Although, I don't know. This has not been a good...
They're not going to beat Charlotte tonight, are they? I mean,
they lost 7 out of 8. Their only win was against Charlotte in that stretch. It all started badly for this team, really, with that drubbing by Florida. Are we going to look back on that and say that just destroyed them?
I don't know.
They did come back and beat Alcorn State and East Tennessee State, but then they got hammered by DePaul, that terrible loss at home to Kansas City. But then they recovered to beat K-State.
Yep, that's the last...
If they played K-State tonight, what would be the line on that game on a neutral floor?
K-State, 10.5.
Be more than that.
No, I'm good at lines.
No, you're not.
I'm the best.
No.
Pull up a game.
You are absolutely not.
Pull up a game
not.
Tonight. Just
right.
Any game.
All right, you
just
want
throw
one?
Just throw a game at me.
All right, you want one?
Yeah, I do.
Here's one.
I don't even care if it's...
All right, a big game in Madison Square Garden tonight.
All right.
Marquette and St. John's.
Marquette
that's an easy
and
line
St. John's.
Because they're both really good.
So I don't know that that's an easy line, but I would say St. John's by 2.5.
You looked it up.
No, I didn't.
All right, here's one. A decent Vanderbilt team at Florida.
Vanderbilt at Florida. Vanderbilt not as good as Florida. I'm going to say that's near double digits, but not quite. It's Florida by 8.5.
12.5.
Gosh darn it.
Not very good. Kentucky at Ole Miss.
Kentucky at Ole Miss. Whew, that's a tough one. Kentucky just got blasted.
Come on, man.
I'm thinking.
You were good.
I'm thinking about
good, it. Good people on lines don't need to think.
Yeah, they. Of course they do. That's all they need to do is think. Kentucky just got blasted. Ole Miss just got blasted. Ole Miss is favored by 1.5.
4.5.
Ah!
You're not that good.
This is hard, man. Next.
I thought you said you were good at this.
Oh, just give me a game.
Here's one. Oklahoma State at Houston.
Oklahoma State at Houston.
This is an easy
Oklahoma
one.
Oklahoma State's terrible. Houston is good, but they don't score a ton, so I'm not going to get crazy. Houston by 17.5.
21.5.
Goodness!
This isn't going that well.
Too many. Too many points.
Here's a good one. Baylor at Texas Tech. That's a good game now. Baylor at Texas Tech.
Texas Tech is going to be favored in that game by a slim margin of 3.5.
7.5.
No way! Give me Baylor all day and night.
Kansas State, late game tonight, at Arizona State. Kansas State at Arizona State.
Arizona State's favored by 5.5.
2.5.
I was going to go
You're
low.
Not even close.
I was going to go low, but every time I've been high.
You're not even close
or
on
low
me.
Or something.
Here's a good one in the Big 12. Late start. 10 o'clock. Can't do it. Arizona at BYU.
Whew. Is BYU, what's BYU's record?
No, that's something you better
BYU's
know.
BYU's good.
They're not that good. They're not ranked.
They're okay, but Arizona State's still favored by 7.5.
BYU by 2.5.
What? Give me Arizona.
Have you been horrible?
I don't know anything about BYU.
I thought you said you were really good at lines.
I am when I know the teams. Give me another. Well,
most of them you've claimed to know.
Give me another just wild card game.
Here's one. Oklahoma, which was really good early.
Not so
hasn't
much.
Hasn't been as good lately. At Auburn.
Oh, Auburn's going to just roll with this. 13.5.
17.5.
Ah!
You haven't been within four. I mean,
well, let me give you one.
Well, I just looked at them.
Well, I'm going to give you NBA.
All right. Well, that's not as that NBA is harder.
It's not harder. They're closer.
You never know who's not going to play. NBA, I wouldn't touch an NBA game.
We have the Maverick, sans Anthony Davis. He won't be playing tonight. At the 76ers.
Both teams wrecked. Who knows? I'll say that Dallas, even without Anthony Davis, by 3.
76ers by 4.5.
I don't see that. It's, the NBA's not. You got to give me college.
How about Celtics at Cavs tonight?
Celtics at Cavs.
Yeah.
Cleveland by 2.5.
Celtics by 1.5. It did open with Cleveland by 2.5. So you're not completely off base there. Is there any other good game? How about Lakers at Clippers? No Luka, of course.
Clippers by 4.5.
8.5.
Really? Oh, the NBA. I've never claimed to be an NBA.
It's hard.
No, college. I'll be all over.
No, I'll ask you next week some games in college.
Well, we're not here next week.
What about Pacers Trailblazers? It's the line on that one.
Indiana by 7.5.
5.5. Portland's been playing better lately.
Well, they got good young talent, but they're not ready to.
They're not anywhere in the mix.
Yeah, they're still not very good.
But they've been playing a little bit better. DeAndre Ayton had 20-20 last night,
okay.
I believe.
Let's not get too excited.
They're okay. Not, they're playing better. That's all I'm saying.
Here we are, February the 4th. We've got pitchers and catchers reporting, I believe, early next week. Am I right about that?
Kind of late next week, I think, typically.
No, I think pitchers and catchers report on the 9th.
Okay, well, that's...
That's Sunday.
Yeah, there you go.
And then we have spring training games starting on the 17th is what stands out to me.
I'll take your word for it.
I think I'm close to right on that.
I'll ask you a question I was asked today when I was very much put on the spot. Outside of the hyped up players, I name an acquisition that kind of flew under the radar that you feel was impactful or underrated during the baseball offseason.
What?
An underrated offseason acquisition that will pay dividends over the course of this season.
Huh.
It's hard, isn't it?
Well, I have to think.
Yeah.
I would say that, does Kyle Tucker count?
Yeah, I don't know. That's, maybe another one of theirs. Maybe like Presley for them or something.
He's a star going to the Cubs, so that may not count. I would say that something that would fit into that category, I'd probably say maybe Paul Goldschmidt, because I think he'll be a better hitter at Yankee Stadium. I think the change of scenery will do him good. He's going to be 38.
That's a good one. I should have said that.
But it could be, well, who did you say?
Jonathan India.
For the Royals?
Yeah.
I thought you didn't like the Royals.
I couldn't. You know, dude, when you're in the chair.
Well, I'm in the chair
right now.
When
you're in the hot seat.
So you wish you'd have said Goldschmidt.
That's a good one.
He's a prideful guy. He'll be a good Yankee.
I'm not sure it'll pay off, but that's a good answer. I don't know if he'll regain what he had.
No, I'm not. I never said he'll regain what he had. He will not be an MVP candidate. But he could hit 25 home runs and drive in 85 runs and bat 270.
Take the under on 25 homers, I think.
Okay, you can take the under on 25.
We'll settle that.
23 last year.
We'll settle that in October.
In a cavern. He'll hit 25 in Yankee Stadium.
Yankee Stadium isn't great for right-handers.
It's not bad. He likes to go the other way, too.
Well, then that'll help him.
Well, I should have gotten this gig.
What gig? I don't know what you're talking about.
You know
about.
What I'm talking about. This guy wouldn't know what. He couldn't get to the hiring contract quick enough.
This was just, we were talking at the office.
You know what I'm saying.
I don't. I have no idea.
He would have been so flustered by me.
Okay.
Give me another one.
What about, here's another hot spot question I was asked. If you looked at two pitchers who had the same ERA and general statistics, what stats would you look at to be able to separate them?
Same ERA.
Same age.
Same
innings pitched.
Yeah, I'd look at recovery rate, how often they could pitch. I'd look at same ERA.
Yeah. Yeah, fired.
Huh?
Fired.
I'd look at whip.
You would? I said strikeouts for one. Batting average on balls in play, I said.
Did you fumble around with it?
I lost my train of thought, but I don't think I fumbled.
Well,
forgot what I was answering for a minute. But
losing a train of thought can't probably not great.
I think I recovered okay.
Well, we'll see. I just shivered there. What happened to me?
You got the chills.
Does that ever happen?
When people get the chills? Yeah, that happens.
That hasn't happened to me in years.
Sorry to hear that.
I just got cold all of a sudden.
It's kind of cold down here.
No, it's not. Feels good down here.
Well, you got a big overcoat on.
Where is my outlet? There, right above your head.
See, that's probably why it's
right
cold.
Above my head.
Yeah.
So we're doing okay. What's the weather supposed to be like tomorrow? Supposed
to warm
up
a little bit. And then cold next week.
Yeah, we'll deal with it.
I'm tired of it already. I know it's only February. We're not even close to probably the worst of this.
What do you mean that we're probably not even close? It's February, man. Once March gets here, it's all good.
No, we still have stuff in March all the time and February.
Nah.
We may have seen the most snowfall we're going to get, but we're going to have some days.
We start League 42 outdoor practices March 10th.
Well, good luck.
It'll be warm. All right, that's it for a Tuesday. Three more shows on the countdown here on the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH. Thanks to Max. Thanks to our guests, Brent Kimnitz, Jesse Newell, Kyle Lindstedt, Brandon Clark. We'll have another star-studded show for you tomorrow. Have a good night.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.